Hi, I'm Eric Stange, co-director and co-writer of The War That Made America, and you are listening to Speaking of History. Hello, this is Eric Langhorst, and you're listening to the Speaking of History podcast. This is episode number 9, and it's November 20th, 2005. And today, the main topic is going to be the National Council for the Social Studies Conference, which I attended over the last several days in Kansas City. And for those of you that regularly listen to the program, you've already noticed some differences. I have been working with Audacity a little bit, wanted to jazz up my podcast a little bit, added some intro music, and found some music at the PodSafe Music Network, by a band called Population 4. And the intro song that I picked was entitled Not That Bad. So just kind of jazz it up a little bit, give it a little bit more of a professional feel. Let me know if you like it or don't like it, but I thought it sounded pretty good. Like I said, today I'm going to talk quite a bit about the conference that I attended. There have been quite a few things going on. I haven't podcasted for about a month, but I've been doing quite a bit in the last month with technology. We had our community technology night at our junior high, and then we also attended a workshop by Bernie Dodge, who's the inventor of the WebQuest. And I want to talk about those two things. But I thought tonight I'd talk about the conference since it's still fresh in my mind and a lot of things are bouncing around inside my head. So I'll get back to those other topics probably in about a week or so. Like I said, the conference was here in Kansas City, which was really great. It was my first NCSS conference, and I hope that I'll attend more in the future. Hopefully my district will allow me to attend a couple in the next couple years. I know next year's in Washington, D.C., and that'd be a fantastic trip to make for a National Social Studies Conference. But I attended this one on Friday and Saturday. And I'll talk a little bit about some of the sessions that I went to and some of the things that I saw there. I also did interviews on the exhibit floor with some of the people that were there. I've heard David Warlick, for example, do this at several technology conferences and create a sound seeing tour. And so I'm going to try and put one of those together, hopefully in the next couple of days. I interviewed, I believe, around a dozen different booths, and got some really good feedback. Very interesting to walk around with this MP3 player. I ended up explaining what I use the MP3 player for in class just about as much as I did interviewing the person. So I'll talk about that a little bit in the next show. Well, on Friday, myself and one of my co-teachers at South Valley Junior High, Lance Huebner, presented a session on how we use video in our classroom. We worked together on a project called the Liberty Minutes Project, where our students create short documentaries based on local history. And Lance and I presented this at a couple different places. We presented it at the local level, and we've also gone up to Omaha, Nebraska, and presented at the NETA conference, the Nebraska Technology Conference. We did that last spring. And so we put in an application to present this year at the National Social Studies Conference, and luckily were accepted. And so we presented the second session on Friday morning, which is pretty much the opening of the conference. And, I mean, there's never probably a great time to present. I like to present early so that you can kind of enjoy the rest of the conference without worrying a lot about your session. We didn't go to a first session because we were kind of setting things up. And then we didn't go to a session afterwards because we were moving some of the equipment back to our cars and things. But we presented the second session, and we thought things went really well. We had, I would say, probably between 30 or 40 people there. And if anybody's interested, I'll put on the show notes a link to both the PowerPoint presentation we gave and then also the project website. It's called the Liberty Minutes Project, and we have our own website up. So I'll put those in the show notes if anybody's interested. I did have someone that actually listens to the podcast in California that came up after the show and answered some questions. So that was great to talk to somebody from another state that actually listens to the podcast. And it was just kind of a surreal experience to know that somebody that listens to your podcast, you actually get to meet them. So that was great. We talked a little bit after the session with several people that had questions. And we thought it went pretty well. It was actually the first session that I ever attended at NCSS, so it's kind of odd that I was presenting at the first one that I ever attended, but I think things went pretty well. As far as the other sessions on Friday that I went to, I did go to one called Blog, 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 Using Technology to Increase Social Studies Writing Skills, and that was given by Glenn Wiebe of Hutchinson, Kansas, and it was a great session. It was a full room, so that's great to see that so many history teachers are using or thinking about using blogs in their classroom. He did ask a couple times about, you know, how many people listen to podcasts, and when he did ask that question, there were probably, I was sitting in the middle of the room, so I didn't see everybody, but I'd estimate probably about 10 people or so said that they use blogs or listen to blogs. We did ask about RSS, and I think there were probably 5 people in the room that said that they knew about RSS. So I think it was a lot of people in the session that were very new to the concept of blogging and had probably heard the term before and wanted to know a little bit about it. But he gave some great basic information about what a blog is and how you could possibly use it in a social studies classroom. He did mention David Warlick, so you know right away that if the guy's mentioning David Warlick, that he is very connected with what's happening in educational technology. Covered a lot about the basic types of blogs. If you want to use Blogger or Movable Type or Blogmeister, what the differences in those different services are as far as posting things on your server or allowing them to have it on their server, but then also giving up some of the control issues as far as being able to censor what gets put onto the blog. So, and I still haven't done anything with blogs with my students in the 8th grade classroom. Still kind of toying around with the idea. I'm leaning probably towards something like Blogmeister. What I'm looking for is something that allows me to control the content and basically be the gatekeeper as far as what gets put on the blog, but then also something that probably doesn't sit on our district server. So if anybody out there is using something, I believe Blogmeister allows you to do that. I need to search into it a little bit more probably over Christmas break, but if anybody's using something that works really well that fits those two criteria, please let me know, and I'll definitely look into it for a topic that we want to do in the spring. I did spend some time in the exhibit hall also on Friday. As with any national conference, you walk around and kind of see what people are giving away as promotional items and gifts and things like that, along with tons and tons of magazines and materials. Probably the coolest thing I picked up on Friday was a John Stossel fleece jacket. If you're not familiar with John Stossel, he's a gentleman that does specials on 2020 or does some specials completely on his own. One that he did that I use in the classroom is called Is America Number One, and it's roughly an hour program that talks about the differences in economics and political systems between America and different parts of the world. But I'd received an email from them, because I'm on their mailing list. I received an email last week saying, hey, if you're going to be at the conference, let us know and we'll put a fleece jacket at the booth for you and just come by and pick it up. And so I told them that I'd be at the conference and came by, and it's a great yellow fleece jacket that says Media in the Classroom on the side. So that was a great product to pick up. Picked up a couple stuffed animals for my 2-year-old daughter at one of the booths that had something some books that they were selling about world geography. And then, of course, tons and tons of zippered cloth bags. I think I ended up with about 5 or 6 bags at the end of the conference. And I know my wife likes to use those for carrying around sewing projects and things like that. So I think we probably have about 20 of those in our basement, but picked up several of those as well. Talked to a lot of great people, a lot of products that I've seen or used in the past, seeing some new things that are coming out. And about mid-afternoon, I was walking in the exhibit hall and walked by the Oxford University Press booth. And they had a poster up, and it showed the textbook that we actually use in our classroom this year. This year, we're using a textbook called The History of Us by Joy Hakem. We actually have had them in our district for a while as supplemental readers, and this year we decided to go to them as our textbook. It's a very small reader, but it has great in-depth articles, very short articles that students read, and it's, I say off the cuff, but it's almost like it's written for 8th graders. It's written for kind of a middle level type student. Very enjoyable for them to read. My students have been very receptive to them. They like them a lot. I've had parents comment on them about how well they like the textbooks this year. So I walked by and I saw this poster, and so I came in and talked to them a little bit and said, hey, I use this resource right now. We really enjoy it. And got to talking with them a little bit and started to visit with Scott and Carol Reed, and talked to them for about 5 or 10 minutes or so. And they invited my wife and myself to dinner that evening, along with a couple teachers from Cape Girardeau, Missouri. So we got to talk quite a bit about the product and talked about the potential of possibly working with them in the future to create some resources, and talked a little bit about the series. And, you know, I've been using the book already, so they didn't have to convince me it was a great product. But it was just nice to talk to people that actually produce the book that you use every day in your classroom. So had a great time Friday, and then came back on Saturday. And, you know, on Saturday, you sometimes think about, oh, should I get up for the early sessions, or, you know, should I sleep in a little bit? And with me being, you know, 15 minutes away, I really didn't have an excuse to get down there early, or I didn't have a reason to not get down there early. So I got down there early for an 8:15 session that dealt with the PBS special that's coming up called The War That Made America. It's a PBS special, a four-hour special, that's coming up in January of 2006, and it focuses on the French and Indian War. And that's a time period where I'm really lacking some good video support material. You can use Last of the Mohicans, but that tends to be more of a Hollywood-type movie. It's not really a history movie, and that is rated R. And so I know our school board, for example, doesn't really want me to use a movie that's rated R in the classroom. It's a very beautiful, stunning movie, but it doesn't really capture, I don't think, some of the major issues that we want to teach the students about the French and Indian War. So I was really excited to hear about what they were doing. They actually had a producer-director there, Eric Stange, and then also a costume designer, Virginia Johnson. And it was great. The whole session is a two-hour session, and it was great to hear from them. They showed clips describing some of the things that they put in their video. For example, Virginia Johnson talked about the costuming and how detailed it was and how authentic it was, how they really spent a lot of time to get, you know, every ribbon that they had in their hair to be authentic, and how they really researched the different uniforms and things. And then the director talked quite a bit about the whole themes in the video, especially the theme of Washington, and how Washington in this war is a very young, aspiring soldier, makes some very fundamental mistakes, especially in the first couple of battles that really evolve into the war. And so I was super excited to see that there's this great video coming out. And I think teachers around the country that teach this time period are going to be very excited to see this video, because it looks very, very well done. And it's going to be a great resource. They already have a website up, and so I'll put that on my show notes. It's just www.thewarthatmadeamerica.com. And I was blown away by what they showed us on Saturday. I did ask the director a little bit about why this topic is important for eighth graders to know. And this is what he said. This is a question for Mr. Stange, the producer of The War That Made America. And if I'm an eighth grade American history student, how does this war affect my life today? Why should I learn about this event in history?
Well, there are a couple reasons. One is to see how George Washington became the leader that he became, and why he was equipped to be first the general and then the president that he became. You really get a sense of him as a young man. As he starts this war as a 22-year-old. In fact, he's the one who started it in some ways. So that's really fascinating to watch. How does somebody that young become the leader that he became? And then the other part of it is to understand the forces that were at play in North America, which most people don't appreciate. If this war had gone differently, we'd all be speaking French and eating French food. And it didn't turn out that way, but there were times when it looked like it would. And it was a close call for quite a few years. So that's interesting. And then the third really important point is to understand the role that Native Americans played at that point in our country's history, that they really held the fate of North America in their hands. That changed pretty quickly by the end of this war, but it's really important to see how it changed and why it changed and how crucial they were at the beginning versus the end.
All right. Thank you very much.
So if you're an American history teacher that teaches the French and Indian War, definitely check that out. Again, the release date for that, I believe, is the middle of January 2006. I think the date they were saying was January 15th or January 16th. So be looking for that. Some of the sessions I went to on Saturday after that included one by Jane Sims. She's a retired teacher from El Dorado Middle School in El Dorado, Kansas. And hers was called Let's Play History. And she did something really neat with her students as she taught. She would create a play based on the Constitution, or they did a play based on the trial of the Boston Massacre, and then she would present those as assemblies. And so she actually had some video of what her classes had done over the years. And then she also had a huge stack of worksheets and different activities that she did with their kids also. And so that was very interesting to see, again, from a middle school perspective, how she made history interesting and took away a lot of great ideas. I think really the Boston Massacre trial is something that I'd like to do in the future. We do some stuff with the Boston Massacre now, but I think doing like a mock trial on the Boston Massacre would be so meaningful, partially because we could do the mock trial and then actually go back and look at how the real trial turned out. And since it was a real trial, there already are documents and testimonies and things like that that we could use. So that was one thing that she did that I really would like to kind of try a little bit next year as well. Did pick up a couple books. There was one booth that had a stack of free books that if you signed up for their newsletter, you could receive one of them. And so I picked up His Excellency, George Washington by Joseph J. Ellis. And that's one that I was kind of looking at over the last couple months anyway. So I was really excited to pick that one up. And then I also purchased one called Teachers Have It Easy, The Big Sacrifices and Small Salaries of America's Teachers by, looks like a collection of different authors, Malthrop, Calegria, and Eagers. So if anybody's read that, again, it's Teachers Have It Easy. I'll be reading that probably in the next couple months. Sounded kind of interesting, kind of a study about kind of how teachers are valued in society, kind of on a monetary level as far as how much we get paid and things like that. And I really try not to get into a lot of the, hey, I'm a teacher and I make no money. But at the same time, I think it's interesting how teachers are valued as far as salary, kind of in relation to some of the other fields where if you have a master's degree or a doctorate degree, things like that. So overall, I had a great conference. I'll probably address several issues that came up in future podcasts. But overall, I thought it was a great conference, and I'll definitely have those interviews with the exhibitors coming up hopefully in the next couple weeks. But I asked each of them to speak a little bit, and I have 12 of them sitting in the iRiver that I'm going to put on the Audacity and get to be an entire podcast. So be looking for that in the future, and thank you very much. I'm hearing from quite a few of you from different parts of the country and different parts of the world, and I hope that you keep finding this interesting. Let me know if there's a topic you'd like me to really talk about or if you have a question. And until then, I will talk to you later. Thanks.